podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed.
Tariq Cohen trying to find a hole, and he's into the end zone for a Bears touchdown. Robinson. Allen Robinson, touchdown Bears.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm the greatest man in the world.
What he just said.
Damn.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Foul.
I'm not a tactician. I'm a motivator.
No, two fouls.
That's the gospel.
Yes.
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
Wide open. Anthony Miller slips a tackle. Miller to the end zone. Touchdown, Bears. And to the end zone. Touchdown, Mitchell Trubisky. Allen Robinson. And he's going to go in for a Chicago touchdown.
Obsession.
My, oh, my.
Being obsessed.
And now.
What time is it?
Here they are.
Perfection.
The Adams.
Yeah, baby.
Hogan Johns.
From Peoria, Illinois.
Exactly. You know it.
We are definitely not from Peoria.
Peoria?
Peoria.
I don't even know how to get to Peoria.
I've never been to Peoria.
Neither have I. Maybe. Maybe a pass through.
You go to a basketball tournament there? Usually
yeah,
in the state?
Yeah.
I've never been
is
there.
Is it on the way to Iowa? I know it's close.
It's not on the way to Iowa. Well.
Then I have no idea where
Missouri.
With all due respect to Peoria.
Yeah.
It is a big Illinois town.
Shout out to our listeners in Peoria. There's got to be a couple of you out there. Welcome in episode 191 of the Hogan Johns podcast, our first Tuesday edition.
Tuesday from the closet.
I shouldn't say first Tuesday edition. We used to do these on Tuesdays back in the day.
Back in
the first season.
Back in the day.
They were always
back in the day.
That was back when we only did one a week.
Yes, yes.
Then we went to two a week with our post-game episodes. We are now going to three podcasts a week. Excited about it. And basically, here's what you can expect. This is sort of our opportunity to update you on the post-game episode from Sunday with the context of being able to watch the tape, hear from Matt Nagy on Monday, and even get into the locker room a little bit today as we record from the beautiful closet at Hallis Hall on a Tuesday. And then we'll start to look ahead to Thursday a little bit. Thursday's episode, I should say, the game on Sunday, a big one this week. And for the most part, though, Thursday's episode will be what it usually is, our big preview episode and reacting to whatever we hear on Wednesday and Thursday here at Hallis Hall.
There's a lot of laughter outside the closet today.
Our guy's Dwight.
It's a jovial place.
Dwight.
Hallis Hall these days.
Dwight and Ike should do their own podcast.
It'd be hilarious.
Ooh. They are the cameraman from ABC 7 and WGN.
So I was walking in with Ike. Ike is the cameraman from WGN. He was having serious problems with his cart.
Ooh.
Serious problems. That cart was in trouble.
You got to get him a new cart?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
The words he used cannot be repeated, even on a podcast. I won't do it. I will not do it. That poor cart.
We have some audio to play for you. Should we start? I was told that our guy Ernie, who does our opens, Ernie Skatton, did something special for us this week. And I haven't heard this yet, but he put the work in, so I think we got to play it
for
you.
Okay.
So, again, we don't really know what this is. We're going in blindly. But Ernie did something special.
Cody Parkey hits the upright, the kick for the win. And it's right left.
Me, I'm the lonesome kicker.
And the extra point, that's two now.
Extra points, field goals. Your service.
And that, boy, he can hit those uprights, can't he?
One might think it comes with glory.
Toward the upright. Unbelievable. Can you believe this?
Different after you listen to my story.
He's hit four uprights today.
People think it's so easy to kick a field goal from the 30-yard line.
The kick by Parkey is no good.
Don't forget to add 7 yards for the snap and 10 more because the goalposts are pushed way back.
No good! Wide to the left!
That's the life I live! The Lord's
on! For the win! No good! The kick is pulled. Missed wide left.
Oh, man.
I thought maybe it'd be something about Trubisky playing well, Khalil Mack's return, maybe something off the song Return of the Mac. No. Poor Cody Parkey. That's mean, Ernie.
But he did miss four field goals off the
impressively upright. Hitting the uprights four times.
Yeah.
Impressively, but yeah, ouch.
That's from that's an Adam Sandler song, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe that's the Lonesome Kicker from Adam Sandler.
I didn't know we had that song.
You know,
I know the Yarmulke song and the church lady stuff.
The reality is that is a storyline.
Absolutely.
Week. It's a big storyline, and it's a big storyline going into a huge game, a game that I think is going to be close on Sunday night. How do the Bears handle the situation with the kicker? Matt Nagy, this is sort of why we... good reason why we're doing these podcasts on Tuesdays now, because yesterday one of the many things he said, Matt Nagy that is that Cody Parkey may indeed actually go down to Soldier Field after saying Sunday that he didn't really need to. Chris Tabor kind of said he didn't need to last week. Wouldn't surprise me now if he does go down to Soldier Field this week to practice.
Oh, you have to do something different. I would go down at night, too.
I was thinking the same thing.
You know what? Traffic's not that bad at night. Tuesdays is actually pretty good, so you should go down today. I'm going downtown later today myself. It's not too bad on Tuesdays. Okay. Get down there in an hour.
What do you got to go down to? Oh, yeah. You got your class to teach.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Molding young minds for the future.
Oh, God. That's a scary thought. Man.
This podcast is just mean today, I guess.
I guess. We should be nicer. In fact, I think that Cody Parkey is going to come back and hit the game winner on Sunday night.
Oh, like the kicker from Green Bay, Mason Crosby style?
How about that's my bold prediction for the week? We're not supposed to be doing that yet.
God, we do a Tuesday podcast. You're going to make your predictions.
I'm getting ahead of myself. It's a big game. It's a big game.
My thoughts on Cody Parkey is this. One, this cannot come at a worse time because you have a Sunday night game. Big divisional game, literally for first place in the division. Like, this is your most important game of the year, and you're struggling at this time on primetime television at home. Bad timing. I also think it's been forgotten. Everybody always throws out the Robbie Gould stats right away, you know, and how good he's going.
The 53-yarder he hit last night.
With all due respect to Robbie, and Robbie and I were close when he was here, he struggled towards the end of his Bears career here. Yes, John Fox and Jeff Rogers made kind of a bold, crazy decision. Does not look good. But he had his struggles. He did.
And I think him getting cut is a big reason why he's...
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge motivation.
Yeah. So you don't know if he would have been that good. I think he probably would have.
I think he would have recovered, yeah.
To rebound, but that is all part of the context that needs to be talked about.
Yeah, and to be fair to Robbie, I don't think he liked what was going on with Fox and, leaving the Trestman era to Fox to having to deal with Jeff Rogers. Just, I don't think it fit him well, being a proud, accomplished veteran that he was.
But it'd be nice if Robbie Gould was the kicker this week. I think if you're the Bears,
you feel pretty.
You feel better about it.
You feel a lot better, yeah.
But the reality is, Cody Parkey's the guy, and I agree with you. I would go down there at night, maybe a couple times this week, just the visualization, the sun being down, you're in the stadium, you can picture it. It's not going to be perfect because obviously the stadium's going to be empty when you're practicing, but I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I would just do it once. That's it. I would only do it once. Let's not make too big of a deal out of your misses. You start making too big a deal out of them, I think more are coming. Stick to your routine as best as you can, but add something else in there, and that's a trip down the Soldier Field. I would do it tonight. I honestly would.
Another thing that I wanted to share is Brian Baldinger does these videos on Mondays, the film room breakdowns. They're really, really good, but he gets really fired up, too. He had one this morning I retweeted on Khalil Mack, and I was like, you don't need to drink coffee today. Just watch this video, because it's gonna wake you up. And then you just found one on Trubisky in the offense.
Yeah, no, his touchdown pass to Allen Robinson.
So
this is good.
Obviously, you can't... This is a podcast. You can't see the video that he's showing, but just listen to this.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
Just listen to this. It's very entertaining.
This offseason, when the Bears identified Mitch Trubisky as the franchise quarterback, and they said, let's give him some help. We'll give him Trey Burton, Taylor Gabriel. We'll draft Anthony Miller, and we'll take this chance on Allen Robinson. Well, those four players have 15 touchdown catches, including this one. Watch this release by Allen Robinson. He turns shed all the way around. Now, this throw is drop-dead perfect. Now, right in the bucket here to Allen Robinson. But The best part of this catch isn't the catch. The best part is the reaction. Soldier Field. I mean, legendary Soldier Field. Look at this place. Khalil Mack on one side, Trubisky throwing touchdowns on the other side, and they got something to cheer about in Chi-Town. This is just awesome. Look at this thing. They're going nuts. There's not an empty seat anywhere. It doesn't matter about the weather. Bring in the polar vortex. These fans want something to cheer about. And by golly, they got something to cheer about. Look at them. Everybody on their feet in Chicago. Oh, this is awesome. Go ahead, Allen Robinson. Put it on the ground, man. Take a bow. That's right.
Now that is a man who is fired up about the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If only all the fans in Chicago felt the same way. I still feel like people are torn on this team. I don't get it.
You know, I said this last week. The people that are sharing actual film breakdowns on Twitter are the ones that are in Trubisky's corner. The ones that are watching the tape. These other snippets and the Michael Lombardi thing that you're hearing, I'm not saying they're not watching tape, but that's coming from like radio interviews where guys are just like, I don't know if they're fully invested in what's happening here in Chicago.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, Brian Baldinger has been on the Bears for weeks now in these film breakdowns, and I'd encourage you to go watch the one on Khalil Mack this morning too. Dan Orlovsky, he's been putting out these videos on the Bears, actual film breakdowns. And yesterday he tweeted that Ryan Pace should, you know, be the leader in the clubhouse for GM of the year.
Absolutely. Brian Baldinger did. I find all his takes enjoyable. I love the enthusiasm. You know, you could sense the real love of the sport there. He did one on, it was the Dolphins game. One of the deep passes to Taylor Gabriel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he's done Trubisky before. Obviously, he's one of the guys in his corner. I don't like how there seems to be corners developing.
Yeah.
I don't get it. My colleague Rick Morris, he wrote a column today in Chicago Sun-Times kind of comparing him to Jay Cutler. Not as a player, but as a polarizing athlete. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean,
I think it, part of it is I don't think Chicago knows how to handle a quarterback developing, a young one. We've never seen anything like this.
You know, I was actually thinking about Cutler this morning for some reason.
Why?
Because I was watching Kristen Cavallari's reality TV show. No, I'm just kidding.
You would TiVo that.
No, I made it through two episodes and that was it.
Yeah.
That's how long our breakdowns of that show went.
That's true. I watched like 2.5 hours.
I bailed pretty quick. No, because I think just performance-wise, Jay Cutler might be the floor for Trubisky.
Ooh.
Where worst case scenario is he clearly has the talent, he has the arm, he has the mobility, but he's inconsistent. He has good weeks and he has bad weeks. Every once in a while he makes a throw where you go, what are you doing? Now I think overall he's been protecting the ball better. But I'm just saying what I think the floor might be performance-wise could be Jay Cutler. Now, the reason why I think that should actually really excite you is because Jay Cutler still put up some pretty good numbers and was a good enough quarterback to win with if they had ever lined up the defense and the offense correctly.
Well, here's my argument perhaps against that is Cutler never had the evolution that Trubisky is starting to go down. He never had the things in terms of lining something up.
Oh, yeah.
He never had his Matt Nagy. Never had it.
That's why I think there's that's why I think there's a lot of credibility to what I'm saying, that might be the bottom.
Okay, all right.
That's the bottom. Because what you're saying is correct. He already has the OC. I mean, they're not going to be changing the offense coordinator 5 times.
No, because you got the head man.
On Trubisky right here. He has better weapons. He has a better defense than Cutler did by the time he actually got the offense in place, right?
Yeah.
They've already lined the stars up better than Cutler ever had it. So I think there still should be some ascension. And then also, let's just go with worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is, and again, I'm just talking about on the field, the way he's playing. If that's the worst case scenario that he's going to be like Jay Cutler was, where is going to make a lot of good throws. He's going to be certainly good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL for you, but he's going to kill you sometimes with some throws. He's going to throw some interceptions. He's not going to protect it. Again, I'm saying this is the floor. If that's all the case, he's still a way better leader.
Yeah, yeah.
He's already got the locker room in his corner. The coaches love him. There's no division there within this building, even if it's developing in the media or the fan base or whatever outside. There's no division in here. So that's why I think that that's a very encouraging floor.
We could even say there's division over Cutler in the front office amongst the decision makers at Hallis Hall here. Mm-hmm. See, in terms of the risky throws, I see Cutler as a different thrower, passer, than Trubisky. There's more anticipation with Trubisky.
Sure.
You know, Cutler was a see-it-throw-it guy. Trubisky, there seems to be more anticipation, and I get that some throws have been ugly, but I feel like those throws have been cut down significantly. Yes, there was a trend where he was good for one mind-boggling play a game, but he's also in his second year. Again, it's the evolution. Cutler would be so jealous right now. You know, I think another conversation. Like, he's got to be looking at Mitchell Trubisky's situation right now. Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, Tariq Cohen.
It's pretty nice.
Envious. Very, very envious.
Yeah, I would think so. So anyway, it's still pretty early, but I think there's that might be the floor, and that should be something that fans should be pretty happy about. I wrote a column yesterday. I couldn't even believe it as I was writing it, and there were so many times where I wanted to be like,
"Well, you used two words. I thought you were. I think maybe even be too early to use." But
well, that's what I was thinking as I'm writing this.
Yeah.
I mean, this seems like you're getting a little ahead of yourself, but it wasn't like I was writing a column. Here's three reasons why the Bears are going to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
it was. Here's three reasons why they are potentially already a Super Bowl caliber team. And here's three reasons why they're not, and they need to fix that.
Yeah.
So I thought, I thought it was pretty balanced, and in the end, my conclusion was, as of right now, they're not capable of beating the Rams or beating the Saints and getting to the Super Bowl or beating the Chiefs or the Patriots once they get there.
You want to see more.
I want to see more. But, I don't know, just tell me what you thought
about
it.
The only team I think that has a completer team or as a complete team as the Bears. Look, Patrick Mahomes has been fantastic. He is special. I get it. Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, that's a dynamic offense.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense, I worry about. The Rams, Todd Gurley is outstanding. Jared Goff is outstanding. Cooper Kupp, losing him is going to stink, but I still think they got enough off weapons.
They got a lot of weapons.
Yes, yes.
There.
Their defense, they spent a lot of money on that defense. Traded for a lot of guys. I still have questions about that defense.
Yeah.
I do. I don't have questions about the Bears' defense. I have more questions about the offense because you got a young quarterback kind of still developing into his own. But the Saints, I see a very complete team.
They're very good.
Very good. Both sides of the ball. So I get your argument. I still think the old saying, defense wins championships, holds true. I do. I really do. So time will tell. To me, it all comes down to what happens offensively. It's still, Trubisky has been this good without a consistent running game. I know that was one of your points.
One of the reasons why I don't think they're ready to win.
So what happens if it gets a yard better? That's all I'm asking, is a yard better.
That's a lot better.
Jordan Howard is averaging 3.4 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of going into last week's game, I haven't looked up the updated stats, but in terms of top 20 guys in the league in rushing, that is by far the lowest. Only guy under 4. Only guy considerably under 4. We're not talking about 3.9. We're talking about 3.4 now.
Yeah.
So you get that going. What does that mean for Mitchell Trubisky? Because you know what? Patrick Mahomes, he benefits from Kareem Hunt. Todd Gurley, he helps Jared Goff.
Yeah.
What's Trubisky getting from his backfield?
Not a lot right now. So for those of you that missed, that haven't read this yet, by the way, go to WGNradio.com/Bears and you can find it. But just briefly, three reasons why the Bears are already Super Bowl contenders. The defense, obvious. They're fourth in total defense right now, third in yards per play, fourth in points per game. I think you bring up a good point. You look at the other teams that are up there, it's like the Bills and the Ravens. They don't have the offense. The Bears, so you're talking about complete teams. That's actually a pretty good argument that maybe I should have had in here if you really look at it. Another one that I don't think is getting enough attention is not just the lack of injuries, but how the Bears have managed injuries
yes.
this year. Going back to their new trainer, Andre Tucker, going back to their new strength and conditioning staff, they changed the way they lift. They did all this stuff in the offseason. Matt Nagy and Andre Tucker and Ryan Pace were very cautious in the preseason. If guys had a minor issue, they were held out of practice. Aaron Lynch didn't practice the entire preseason. Roquan Smith, the first day he comes back and he gets a little hammy thing, they held him out. As much as he needed the practice, they held him out. And now he's coming on. He was a little shaky at the beginning of the year. Now he's coming
on. Wait, did
strong.
You mention the preseason game where all the starters sat?
No, I didn't even mention
How about that?
Yeah.
How valuable were those 22 reps?
Changed the season. And then, of course, the way they handled Khalil Mack and Allen Robinson the last couple weeks.
Yeah, well, perfect. A lot of that is... To me, that's confidence in your team to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, knowing they're better than the Jets, knowing they're better than the Bills. To not have your best overall player, your best overall receiver, and still think, you know what, we could beat these teams pretty handily. And they did.
Yeah.
It speaks not only your training staff, but organizational depth.
Well, look,
there's your Ryan Pace argument again.
Well, right, because if you look at teams that go deep in the playoffs, they have depth. So they withstand injuries. They also get lucky with injuries. They don't have as many injuries. But I also think that goes both ways, because I also think when you're better, you get hurt less, because you're the one doing the hitting or getting
you're,
out of the way.
You're asserting yourself.
You're not the one playing defensively on every single play. So I look, it's football.
It's a mindset, too.
Injuries
right?
are going
to
happen.
Like, you're willing to play through different things as well, right? The adrenaline's different.
So... But I also think you look at teams that make it deep, they have good training staffs, and they have good strength and conditioning staffs, and they do things the right way. I think the Bears should get a ton of credit for how they've overhauled that in the last year. And right now they're sitting pretty good. A lot of season left, but they're sitting pretty good. And then the last reason why I think that talked about what we mentioned before, this offense should still be ascending in my mind. Trubisky should still be getting better every week. You saw how good Allen Robinson can be for you. Anthony Miller, he's really coming on. I mean, think about where he could be 8 games from now or 7 games from now. And then Adam Shaheen.
Yeah, that's the wild card right now.
It changes a lot in your offense if he comes back healthy.
Yeah. Think about all the tape. We were talking about this in the locker room that the Vikings have been digesting of the Bears' offense. So many different looks, right? So many. But now you got to account for Adam Shaheen. You don't know how they're going to use him. You don't know what Matt Nagy's plans are. You weren't there in Denver when they were practicing against the Broncos. What's coming?
I was there.
Yeah, you were there. Mike Zimmer wasn't.
Mike Zimmer wasn't.
Harrison Smith wasn't.
No, he was not. Do you think he's going to come back this week?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
That's big.
Real big.
It would also fit the way that they've...
Managed guys,
making sure they're ready for the big games.
Adam, they were confident in his ability last week to where his first snap amongst team last week when he returns to practice. Oh, here, Adam, here's number 52.
Yeah.
Block him. Welcome back, kid. He'll be close.
Speaking of 52, there was one play. I don't know if you saw this watching the tape. He... held the tight end with one arm. This was a running play. So he sets the edge on the outside, holding him with one arm extended, the inside arm. And then the second the run was bounced inside because he had set the edge, he just swats him away, cuts in, and makes the tackle.
Tackle for
I think
no
it was
gain.
On third
yeah,
and
yeah,
one.
Yeah, for no gain, right?
Yeah.
Exceptional. He's exceptional. Can I give an apology to Taylor Decker? By the way, do you watch the replays of that more closely?
Yeah.
His foot was stepped on.
Oh, I actually did not.
So
I guess I didn't watch it
close
enough.
So it's like the Ben Broniker thing.
I did not.
So Taylor Decker was 16th overall pick a few years ago.
Okay.
Yes, got run over by Khalil Mack. But his teammate, the left guard, stepped on his foot and kind of made him immobile a bit. But Mack was on him. Mack's powerful.
Good catch by you. I did not notice that.
No, Daniel Jeremiah.
Oh.
Pointed it out first, and I saw that this morning.
He's another good one on Twitter. Another good analyst. Twitter and on NFL Network. All right, and then so those are the reasons why I think, you know, we have to be making grand conclusions right now. It's week 11, but those are three reasons why I think this team could continue to get better. And in January, you give them a chance. Now, three reasons why they're not contenders right now. That running game. Got to get going. They're actually 16th in rushing yards per game and 11th in rushing yards per play.
Well, that's a lot because of the quarterback.
Mitch Trubisky, who is actually the best rushing quarterback in football right now, better than Cam Newton. Cam Newton
by average, yeah.
Yeah, Cam Newton has more yards, 7 more rushing yards than Trubisky, but on 29 more rushing attempts. So those are inflating the overall team numbers. You talked about the running back numbers. That's what needs to improve. And when you ask Matt Nagy about it, he actually seems perturbed with it. You could tell he wants to get that running game going. Hashtag Bear Special Teams. Good teams, Super Bowl teams, are good in all three phases. And right now the Bears are not good on that phase.
They're good at covering punts.
Okay. And Cohen,
I think
Cohen's been a good punt returner. He's a broken one, but he's getting yards.
Right.
They're not getting much out of the kick return game. The two touchdowns they allowed against the Patriots cost them that game. And Cody Parker, we talked about, has got to figure.
Oof,
you can't go into the playoffs without a kicker.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and then this last one's not a knock on Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy's been a great hire so far. There's plenty of optimism. I think Bears fans should feel really good about him going forward. But the reality is that if we're going to talk about the Super Bowl this year, he's still a rookie head coach. He's still untested. And there have been a couple moments this season. The 53-yarder in Miami that he settled for. The blowing a 20-0 lead in Green Bay, which we can't forget about. And even on a much smaller level, not challenging that play against Detroit the other day.
We gave the Lions some credit in the last podcast on that.
The point is, we still don't know how he's going to be in some of these big games.
Yeah.
There's probably going to be a moment on Sunday, I'll call it right now, where he's either going to get praised or criticized for something he did in a key moment in a big football game at home on primetime television.
Can I play devil's advocate in this?
Sure.
We saw longtime coach John Fox once challenge a play in the Packers. Get the ball back?
They got the football back.
So just saying experience matters, but let's not... Look, he's a smart guy. He's doing some brilliant things with the offense. So some things are clicking there, yes, but he needs some of the game time experience. But even the most experienced coaches, as we've seen, have struggled with that. Still do.
Well, the point being, we don't know. It's still a little bit of an unknown, Matt Nagy.
Yes.
In big football games down the stretch. And let's be honest, the playoff game last year that he was in, he was kind of made the scapegoat.
Yeah.
For the Chiefs blowing that lead.
Well, and Andy Reid is still there. Is he not? Like, it's still his team, right?
I believe he's still the head
coach. Yes. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was calling the plays. All right. Anyway, for those of you in England, there's your recap of my column. And you can still read that at WGNradio.com/Bears. We talked to Danny Trevathan today in the Bears locker room. I talked a little bit about how big this football game is, among other things. Here is your starting inside linebacker, Danny Trevathan, at Hal's Hall.
I believe that, we can be as good as we want to be. Last year, turnovers was the emphasis. And this year, it just goes to show that we kept working at it and we reaped the benefits of it. And it's been helping us a lot. And we love it. That's our whole attitude. The ball is ours. Let's get it back. And, DB's been playing lights out. D-line been playing lights out. ILBs and OLBs. Everybody been playing lights out. So, it's been everybody, not just one person, just, buying in and playing together.
They didn't have Dalvin Cook last year when you guys played him. What does he add to that offense?
You get a player like that, he adds a little fire to their offense. He's a playmaker. He's been doing it for a couple times. He ain't really played too much this year. He's been tweaks a little bit, but I'm pretty sure we'll be seeing a lot more of him. He's a playmaker, and he's one of the guys they look for when they're trying to make a play.
How are he and Latavius Murray different as well?
One of them a little bit more power, upright, physical guy. Dalvin Cook, he shows flashes of that, but he's still a speedy back end. Third down, try to get him out there. But we know that they've been playing real good. Their offense been playing good. Getting the ball downfield. Creating them explosive plays. Two main receivers, big offense. So we know we're gonna have our hands packed. We just ready to go ahead and come away with this dub.
What's the main concern for you guys when you face a guy like Kirk Cousins? What does he do well?
Spreads it out. He gives you a little bit of everything. Kirk Cousins, he's a playmaker. He wants to win. He's a competitor, and we know what we're facing out there. We know that the Vikings have been one of the guys we have to face every year. So we know our opponent well. We just got to study it and hone in a little bit more and get this dub.
The Bears offense really had a hard time scoring in your first couple years here, and now it's scoring about twice as much. How much fun has it been for you to watch them do what they're doing?
It's been easy. It's been fun. You know, being on the sideline, you know, don't like it, but you like it. You know what I'm saying? But just goes to show our offense been, you know, working the tail off, man. They're starting to reap the benefits of that. And defense, you know, we're starting to see them come together and making us play, you know, a little bit more better, you know. And we want that heading into, you know, the end of the season. You want to see your offense and your team, you know, keep getting better. Either getting better or getting worse. And I'm a firm believer.
Could you tell in training camp with all the new receivers that it was going to be different?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They had me moving around everywhere, chasing everybody. You know, it was everywhere. Turbo, you got A-Rob out there, A-Mill. And you never know what you're going to get, but I'm glad that I'm on the other end.
You and Ryan have brought a lot of tough years, but it's been a long time. It's been a big prime time game.
Right.
Here. How fun is that to be playing that at this point?
That's what you dream of as a kid. That's what you dream of as a player. You know, you want to play under the lights, want to make sure that you play your best game. You know, you know, this is all or nothing. And for us, it's the big game because it's the next game, and it's a divisional game. We need this to get to where we want to go this year, and we know that we got to put our best foot forward and come away with this dub.
You guys played those two primetime games to open the season. How different is this team now than it was week one?
We look forward to this now. We look forward to it. We take on a challenge. A lot of people saying short week, blase. We're not worried about that. And we know it's the next game in front. We need this to get where we want to go. And that's the main goal of us. You know, we're not getting complacent. We're staying hungry, man. And this team is, you know, we're hungry, you know. We've been sitting back for a long time. It's time for us to go get it, and the time is now, you know, not to sit back. Next game is the most important. Let's get it.
Prince said you can tell on social media a lot of the excitement and the hype from fans. Can you tell that as well?
Yeah, the fans are. You know, they've been waiting for a long time for us to go ahead and splash out here. So I think the city deserves it, the fan deserves it, and everybody that's part of this organization deserves it. So let's just keep best foot forward and keep working hard.
Prince was just talking about the double Dutch celebration. Or what do you think of them? Do you ever put in your input?
Man. It's so much going on in your mind out there. I'm just happy I got guys like that can coordinate and got talent like that, man. I'm not really good at that, but, you know, I play my role, and I'm just having fun with these guys, man. That's, you know, that's all I look forward to. Whatever they got, I'm with it. So we brothers, and, you know, we got to get some more celebration, get coordination down. A lot of people trying to steal our stuff out there, you know, but it's good that we put it out there. We're having fun. We're winning games.
So there you go, Danny Trevathan. I like how he didn't really hide how big of a game this is.
They shouldn't.
A lot of teams will just say, oh, it's the next one on the schedule.
Well, I'm sure some guys will say that this week. But
I'm sure. But you could hear from Danny, he understands the excitement. Him talking about the fans being excited, I thought was pretty cool. And I think the atmosphere Sunday night is going to be... Remember how it was last year, Trubisky's first game against the Vikings. It was a primetime game on Monday night. That we came out of that game, even though they lost, saying, wow, that's as loud as it's been here in a long time.
Yeah.
In a long time. There was a little bit of that with the Patriots this year, but I think this is going to be next level.
So I was talking to my good buddy Rich, season ticket holder, he went to the Lions game, right? He was so upset with the crowd.
Yeah.
So upset with the hometown crowd.
Sleepy.
One, a lot of sleepy, yelling at him to sit down as he's cheering on his own team.
Oh, man.
Bad look. Bad look. I thought it was a bit sleepy. Probably the weather had a factor to do with that. There were some open seats in the 300 level, but...
They were also... they scored on their first four... They scored touchdowns in their first four drives.
Yes.
It was a blowout fast.
Yeah, so I feel like some people are still grasping to handle what's afoot here.
Right.
Now, I understand people have been kind of beaten down by the Trestman era, by the disappointment of Jay Cutler and John Fox and whatever that was. This should feel different. It should.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, I'm guessing there's been a lot of turnover in season ticket holders.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
And a lot of the fans that were at that NFC Championship game back in 2011 against the Packers,
oof,
probably different fans now.
Yeah.
And people get older, and you get younger fans that have... What was that? That was 7 years ago. So you have, like, people in their 20s now who are teenagers. The last time the Bears were good.
Yeah.
So that happens, and you get fans who might not necessarily know how to be crazy rambunctious. I was listening to the Bears pregame show driving down to the stadium the other day, and Joniak was saying stuff. He's like, "We need you guys to get nasty." You know, he was it was almost like borderline, like, careful, Jeff.
Yeah, yeah.
But his point was, come on. I mean, there needs to be a home field advantage here. And
there's been some empty seats.
It's an interesting point that your season ticket holder friend brought up, because you're right. It was kind of a sleepy atmosphere. And I think it'll be a lot louder on Monday or on Sunday.
Cold. Lions kind of stink. People have seen Matthew Stafford before. But this is for the first place in the division. This really sets the course for the rest of the year. Either you're going to be chasing or you're going to be leading. This is the game.
Yeah. Well, and to take that a step forward, you'll have two wins on the Vikings, and you'll be up two games in the win column. Remember, they have that tie that's going to end up being a factor here at the end, of both the Packers and Vikings, because they played each other and tied. If you look at the schedules coming up, the Vikings have they're going through a really tough stretch here after the bye week. So they come to Chicago, they got New England, they got Seattle. Both of those games are on the road, I believe, and they host the Packers. That's not in that order, but those are their.
Okay.
And
Seattle's proving to be a better team than we thought.
And it's always
they're
hard.
They're not great.
But you want to talk about good home field advantages.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Green Bay's going there on Thursday.
It's still a tough place to play.
Yeah.
The Packers are already in the middle of a very tough stretch where they've had New England, and they're going to Seattle, and then they have to go to Minnesota. Both of their schedules drop off considerably in December. Considerably.
Okay. Well, the Bears still have the 49ers and the Giants.
Correct. But they also have the Rams, the Packers, and the Vikings.
Yes.
No, the Vikings and Packers obviously have to play the Bears, too, in December. But just trust me, when you look at the schedules, it's in the Bears' best interest to win this game. I mean, really win this, not only because you have to win your divisional games at home. We've talked about that, but especially this game against the Vikings. I'm not saying it's impossible to win the NFC North if you lose, but you could really take hold of the division by winning this game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big game. Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, Stephon Diggs, is he okay? Adam Thielen?
I think so, okay. But we'll have to see what the injury report is.
Yeah, great defense. For all those wondering how good the Bears really are, this is a great indicator. We saw them hang with the Patriots. I think the Bears have improved since then.
And they haven't been on a primetime game since week two.
And they won that.
This is going to be, you know, the national spotlight. We talk about how, you know, maybe some of these opinions on Trubisky have been uninformed, maybe lack the full context of watching the whole game. Well, here's a game where, like it or not, every throw of his is going to be analyzed
by
everyone.
Oh, yes. It's a very good defense.
And it's a good defense. So, you know, just a big opportunity.
Absolutely.
So, well, you got Thursday's episode to break it down.
Yeah.
This was good.
I'll just say, last year at this time, I think we've already fired John Fox like twice.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of that, I don't know if I can find it real fast. Someone tweeted at me a tweet of mine from this exact day last year.
Oh, boy. It's a Kevin Fishbane tweet.
I know.
He likes He's got the time stamp
the time
tweets.
Hop thing. It was a quote from John Fox. Yeah, I'm not finding it. That's all right. It was a quote from John Fox, though, about how Tariq Cohen had only played 13 snaps.
Oh, against the Packers?
In the game. Whatever week it was. He played 13 snaps. And it was John Fox being like, well, I think we use him plenty.
Wow.
Come a long way.
Yes.
Come a long way. That's pretty impressive. All right.
We embrace it.
Follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read us at WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. What do you got? You got observations from Sunday, right?
Yep, they're up there. We'll have something more tomorrow. I might do some Twitter Q&A. You know, there's a demand for Bears stuff now.
That's
gotta,
why.
We got to meet that demand. That's what we're doing this for.
We're trying.
Yes.
Three podcasts a week. 5-star effort.
right? Yeah, I was 4-star yesterday or last Sunday. So
is this 5?
It's 5-star.
It's 5? Yeah. Okay, good. All right. Well, give us that rating. Go ahead and do it. We don't have enough ratings. Give us the rating on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you do it. Leave a review. We appreciate you doing that. Appreciate our listeners. Hope you enjoy us going to 3 podcasts a week here, and we'll be back with our normal one on Thursday as we break down Bears and Vikings Sunday Night Football. It's a big one. Talk to you then.